is weird, odd, strange, or just plain bizarre is really your cup of tea, then the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast will give you that fix. Can't believe it? Well, listen for yourself as we deliver the strangest news you definitely won't find on CNN or Fox. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Weird News Podcast. I am your host, Heidi, and I am joined by the very special guest, Stacey.
Hello.
Stacey is a wonderful former GSMC podcast host. I am very happy to have her. And we are going to be going through some strange stories. The first one starts kind of similar to many of these weird news stories start, with a Florida man.
Oh, yes.
Classic Florida. Another Florida man had threatened to kill his neighbors with kindness, which doesn't sound that weird until you find out that kindness is the name of his machete, which also he named his machete. That's also weird.
I mean, if it's a very special machete to you.
That's true.
Your one and only machete. Also, just the fact that there's the character Machete who's named Machete, and now my brain's off on a totally different tangent.
That's true. Not. All right, not him, but a real machete, a knife. So what happened is a Florida man allegedly threatened to kill his neighbor. And he's 30 years old, suspect's name, Brian Stewart. And it began when two of Stewart's neighbors went to his house. They were concerned because they had heard yelling and banging from the home all day. Stewart came out of the house with an armed raise holding the machete, and it had the words kindness written on it, like a name tag, really.
Okay.
And one of the neighbors stepped in front of the other to block the blade, and then he suffered a half-inch cut on his left hand.
So
cut by kindness.
So this guy wasn't even just, you know, standing there gesturingly wildly. He actually tried to hurt these people.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Which is so frightening. I mean, don't go to your neighbor's house. They might have a machete and be waiting to cut you. Who knows?
I mean, in Florida, maybe.
That's true. Classic Florida. The sheriff's department was called and deputies arrived and they arrested Stewart. They said that Stewart's breath smelled of alcohol and he had to be stunned with a taser before he was put inside the patrol car, which is crazy. He was really mad. Police said he also had to be hobbled after kicking inside the car and banging his head. So I assume he was like handcuffed and his legs were probably handcuffed.
Yeah,
he was, because there's his mugshot. He has a big bruise on his head. Or like a red mark.
Right.
So he was probably trying to fight his way out.
Wow.
He was booked at the jail on charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without the intent to kill and aggravated battery. And he remains behind bars on a $10,000 bail.
Well, good. At least, you know, hopefully time to sober up. When I first saw the story and you're like, kill him with kindness, I was like, this sounds like the title of a cozy mystery set in like Georgia or something.
Oh, yeah.
Where they would like actually kill you with kindness somehow.
I could see that. Yeah.
But machete named kindness, like this is like the slightly crazy Florida version of Beyonce's bat being named Hot Sauce. It's like, I still don't fully understand because hot sauce in your bag, but then the bat is hot. I like that song, but I don't get it. But I would still prefer that, even though you're smashing up my car, over the machete named kindness.
Yeah, this is terrifying. That's just a horrible nightmare story.
It sounds like something that the character machete, a movie, would have someone, you know, brandishing a machete, trying to kill you with kindness. That's that sort of thing.
That'd be pretty good for the machete movie.
Right? Get on that, whoever makes those, Robert Rodriguez or whoever.
Okay. On to a cozier story. This one
is this cozier?
I think this is cozier. This is about Costco. They are selling a 27-pound tub of macaroni and cheese. I think this is cozier. Cozy up with your giant bucket of mac and cheese. It'll last you 20 years.
See, that's
apparently
the problem. It's not the 27-pound tub of macaroni and cheese, because that could be like a cozy, you know, night together with friends. It's the fact that this tub lasts 20 years that I'm just like, no, 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 no.
I mean, who knows? Maybe Easy Mac lasts for 20 years.
I mean, it probably does, but I don't want to think about that for the mac and cheese I eat.
It sounds great. the warehouse store Costco, they're selling this 27 pounds, and it is in a big 6-gallon mop bucket, basically. You can buy it for $89.99, and you get 180 servings of Chef's Banquet macaroni and cheese. The company said it will remain edible for up to 20 years, just in case. Also, I have to let you down that despite the image of, like, the 27 pounds of just creamy, wonderful, cheesy macaroni and cheese just flowing straight from the bucket, it's more like individual servings of noodles and cheese, and they're all individually packaged inside the bucket.
Which is slightly better.
Yeah, well, that's probably why it lasts longer. You're not just opening it up and taking a spoon straight to it.
I mean, I'm still concerned about any cheese that lasts 20 years, but...
I mean, that's not cheese at that point.
Right, it's really not.
Yeah.
But I get it. I get why. Yeah. It's like, because, you know, this is sort of survival rations or whatever. And
yeah, oh yeah.
You don't just want to eat, like, oatmeal and protein bars. You do kind of, at times, you want that home feel of macaroni. I get it.
Yeah.
Not saying I want it, but I get it.
That could be a good, like, white elephant gift.
What?
Well, it's $89, maybe not.
But... And also, why here 20 years worth of mac and cheese?
You never know.
Pounds. I mean, that's a heavy white elephant gift.
That's white elephant, right? The game, you're exchanging gifts, and they can usually be funny gifts.
I mean, I've never seen it that heavy. I've seen it with smaller things, and the biggest would be, like, you know, a couple of bottles of wine or some sort of decorative thing, but 27 pounds worth of 20 years lasting non-cheese is a very interesting white elephant gift. Just saying, you can do it, and you would certainly be the talk of that party,
yep.
But I'm not sure you'd necessarily be appreciated or asked back to another one.
I went to a white elephant exchange where someone brought an enema, or
okay.
I've seen a goldfish exchanged.
I've seen that, too.
I've seen, one time a potato, someone just a raw potato. Or, when I was in college, someone for White Elephant gave salt and pepper shakers from our dining commons. They stole them off the table.
I've definitely done that at college where there were gift exchanges of, you know, hey, this belongs to the, you know, the services, the school services.
Yep.
Like, that looks awfully like the ones down. Yeah, it is.
Also, if you're looking to buy this item, according to the Costco website, it is currently out of stock. So hopefully they're bringing it back in stock because a lot of people wanted it. So I don't know. Doomsday preppers. If you're out there and you're like, I really need this mac and cheese right now, look for the person who is stockpiling stuff in their basement. They might have it.
Except if they're a real true prepper, you shouldn't notice that they're stockpiling stuff. They should be all like, you know, secretive and small things at a time and not let me go out and go to Costco and buy every preppy thing you could possibly... Not preppy. Prepping? Preppy would be something else. Every prepping thing you could possibly think of and all the different tubs of rations. That kind of screams prepper, and then people are like, oh, hey, that neighbor is the one to hit up when things go bad. We need to break into that house.
Yeah, that's true. Unless they're nice and they invite you in when the zombie apocalypse starts. Who knows?
They have to first check you're not a zombie, though.
Oh, that's true.
I do like this, though, for prepping, that it's not just like... boring food, because you'd kind of be like, you know what, I'm gonna go join the zombies, I can't do this anymore. Brains sounds like a nice difference
between like packaged mac and cheese,
right? Or these stupid bars that aren't chocolate.
Yep.
It's like,
yep.
I would get so sick of that. So I like the idea that it's now like, how can we have this sort of assortment of prep food for the, you know, inevitable zombie apocalypse or whatever. But yet there are some things can last forever, like honey, if it's packaged right, can literally last like forever. Cheese is probably not supposed to be one of them. And so any cheese that can last that long is not real cheese. And I'm like, you're already ruining my, you know, it's already the apocalypse. I want real cheese for my mac and cheese, or as close to real cheese as I can get, even if I do like do crafty mac. So,
I mean, those are things that you can only wish for in the middle of the doomsday apocalypse.
I'm just saying, for my apocalypse, I have standards. That's all I'm saying.
That's good of you. Also, I will say, though, the brand Chef's Banquet does not sound super trustworthy. That just screams to me like really bad graphic advertisements. That went badly. I mean, like, they're like, whoever designed their logo, I feel like it wouldn't be a good logo.
Okay.
And like, I just, like, that scream is like bad fake cheese to me. Like Cheese Whiz cheese, you know?
Well, now you're just talking about, like, strange graphic images and the thing is chef's banquet when we're talking about a zombie apocalypse, and I'm now just picturing, like, what would a chef's banquet at a zombie apocalypse be like? Like, here are the, you know, sautéed brains.
With a 27-pound tub of really graphic mac and cheese.
Right, exactly. And here are the, you know, fresh-cut lady fingers and all these wonderful, like, Addams Family puns my brain's now gone off on. Thank you for that.
Yep. I could see that. Well, now I'm thinking it too. We've gone in the wrong direction.
We really have.
We should take a break.
Yes.
We'll take a break and then we'll be right back and we're going to keep talking about some more weird news. The next one I'm excited for. A hint, it involves a cardboard cutout police deputies to fight crime. I'm so excited. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts. Past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Weird News Podcast. We are continuing to talk about some strange news stories, and we are going from giant tubs of macaroni and cheese to a sheriff who is using cardboard cutout deputies to fight crime, which sounds great. According to the Williamson County Sheriff, whose name is Robert Chody, he is partnering deputies with cardboard cutouts to deter motorists from speeding. The sheriff has tweeted a video this week showing one of these fake deputies, and the deputy is standing there pointing a radar gun at oncoming traffic.
So wait, the deputy is like, it's not like a cutout in the car?
No, it's just standing there.
Ooh, okay.
Which seems way less probable, but, you know.
And also, like, less likely to be believed since I can more easily see when it's outside the car it's not a real person.
Yep.
But, okay.
Yep, you would think. But according to the sheriff, it is a creative way to solve a problem without really working, the problem. I mean, that's true. That you're,
sure.
Yeah, you went for a cheaper route. And he continued to say, when you're going 20 or 30 miles per hour, you see the silhouette, you're immediately braking and slowing down. I guess.
Well, and this reminds me, I want to say it's Super Troopers. It's the beginning of some silly cop comedy where the guy puts like a mannequin in the cop in the front seat of the car and goes off fishing, but it's still a cop in a car, so the people like slow down. And I'm like, I bet this probably does actually work, but you would think you'd at least want to hide a little the fakeness.
Yep. I mean, like he said, he's not really working the problem.
So yeah, I'm going to put this cardboard here and we're going to go off and play Canasta. We'll be back.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. he said that while the cardboard deputies are not going to be filling out any quotas, they do appear to be deterring speeders. He has recently tested them in school zones with real deputies who were stationed nearby. And he said, we didn't get one speeder. All these people were braking before they got to the cutout or as they were approaching the cutout. Although I do feel like if I saw that, I would pass the cutout and then just speed up out of spite.
Well, or like, I'd, you know, be rubbernecking and be like, wait, was that a real person and possibly cause an accident?
Oh, that's like, true.
Not a cop? Cop? Not a, what was that?
Yep, I could see that. I would be stopping to be like, what the heck? Yeah.
It's like, at least take, you know, like an old car you don't need and put it somewhere so that, you know, where the car normally sits to deter speeders.
Right.
And then you don't need anything and we only see the car, we're good. I think that would do the same problem.
Maybe they were short on cars.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Cutouts would be cheaper, though. Who makes cutouts of cops? Like,
I don't know.
What is the company and what do you normally make these for?
The same people who make the Elvis cutouts.
I'm hoping it's not for, like, sheriff deputies who are short of people. Like, sheriff departments that, oh, we don't have enough officers, let's just put out cutouts.
Also, this cutout is not just like the silhouette. It's like a full, it looks like a sticker. Like it's a full print. Like they just took a picture of someone.
Okay.
So it's not even just like one color. I would hope
it wouldn't be one color. That would not be believable at all.
Yeah. I mean, so from afar, you're like, maybe that's someone. I don't know. Anyway, apparently it's working for them. So good on you.
But I feel this is going to be like the people version of those owls that they put on buildings. Oh, to, like, deter pigeons, and then the pigeons get used to it. So it doesn't, or like scarecrows, it doesn't do anything anymore.
They just start hanging out with the cutout.
They'd be like, oh, I know the cutout's going to be at this corner from whatever to whatever. So it's fine. I can speed.
Yep.
This is always a cutout covered corner. We're good.
Yeah. We'll see. Also, another story. This is not about police now. This is about a firefighter, so kind of related. But it is for a much happier story. A firefighter had faked a fire at his own house so that he could propose to his girlfriend.
I mean, okay, yeah, fine, proposal happy, but I'm starting to worry about, like, our public services people.
True.
What are you doing?
This all happened in November, and apparently, just as this couple was preparing to host a holiday party, so, man, talk about a stressful time already, for some reason, Zach Steele thought that it would be funny, unbeknownst to Madison Raddick, and they are the happy couple, he decided to plant 6 remote-operated smoke machines in their attic before going out to pick up last-minute groceries. Again, they're preparing for the holiday, so he's like, I'm just going to go pick up some quick groceries, and left the house. He said, originally, I got 1 smoke machine. I went to test it, and there was barely any smoke, so one was not going to work. So I had to get more smoke machines, and he got 6.
Right, that's a little too many.
It's a little overkill, but yes. He said it created a lot of smoke, which I can imagine. It was just like spewing out of the house. And it sent, obviously, it sent his fiance Madison, into a panic, which I can imagine.
Yes.
When the prank started, though, her mom, Madison's mom, was in on the prank, and she faked a call to 911, which gave the signal for Zach to then come in with some of his firefighter buddies, and they came in like full rescue gear. Madison didn't know what was going on at first, and this is a quote from her. She said, I was so scared, and I honestly could not sort through my emotions enough to completely comprehend what was happening. Then Zach Steele took off his oxygen mask, and she saw his face. She calmed down and then realized what was happening. Okay. Which I'm sure in the back of her head, she's like, of course you would do this.
You would, yeah.
The proposal was captured on body cam footage, of course, because he's a firefighter. And apparently it brought on the waterworks. She started crying. So that's sweet. Zach got down on one knee, and Madison got emotional. She started crying, but she was super excited. And she said that it was truly the best, most indescribable moment of my life. I mean, yeah, that's a lot of crazy things happening at once. You almost thought your house was burning down.
See, I have 2 concerns about this.
Mm-hmm.
One, I feel like this is misuse of taxpayer. Why do you have the body cam on? Like, I know you're supposed to be trying to make it look real and all that. I'm going to assume you also took, like, a fire truck when you mm-hmm. came in on this mm-hmm. thing. But, I mean, I'm hoping actually just most towns are like, hey, it's a slow enough fire day that you can have a fire truck. We're good.
Right.
But at the same time, why do you have the body cam on? But then, B, my concern would have been, never mind the mom who's in on the prank, what if one of the neighbors called 911?
Yes, very
like,
true.
They don't know unless you told the whole neighborhood, hey, I'm going to propose to my girlfriend on this day. So if you see smoke, it's okay. That's the plan. And I've had this happen where, you know, it's one fire and you call 911 and like, yeah, we know. People have called about it. It's like, it's not just, one person calls 911 for these things. They don't know anyone else is called, so they call themselves. It's like, that could easily have been, like, we have, you know, a real fire crew out there trying to fight a fake fire. And then it's like, oh, yeah, that. Sorry.
I mean, hopefully he told the fire department, so when they got calls.
I guess.
Maybe. Although probably the calls would go to other neighboring towns. I don't know.
I mean, and it. That feels a bit like too close to sort of Boy Who Cried Wolf of like, oh yeah, the fire is in whatever neighborhood. Oh, we know that's Zach's neighborhood. And then it's like, no, different house. There's
true.
A real fire.
You should not make fake calls to firefighters or police because that takes away resources from real crimes and real fires. So please be careful. If you're doing a fire proposal, maybe don't, you know.
Just maybe don't, yeah.
Maybe just don't.
I'd be one of like, note to future people who would want to propose to me, do not do any sort of surprise in which in reality I would might possibly want to like call emergency services.
Yep.
Or think someone was dying.
Agreed.
I will not think fondly of you afterwards. Nope. I may hit you and or, you know, we might really need to call 911 for a different reason. Yep. Afterwards. Like that, I am not good with surprises like that. If it could actually be a real emergency, no.
Not wise. Would not suggest. Also, apparently, they are, of course, she said yes, and they'll be getting married on March 30th. So,
good for them. Congrats. Glad it definitely worked out in this situation. Not going to say it was the best planned surprise.
Oh, I'd be terrified. Terrified, for sure. Don't do that. I don't want to do the, like, where people propose at baseball games, you know? I wouldn't want that, and I wouldn't want a fake fire.
See, yeah, I wouldn't want the, I'd prefer the public one over the fake emergency one. Just because, hey, don't give me a heart attack of something that could really happen. Like, I'd really freak out if, you know, you were pretending to be dying or something. It's like, yeah. Please, no.
Also, I'm glad he told her mom.
Yeah.
Because my mom would totally freak out, understandably so. And then it'd be just the two of us, like, completely, like, crazy in a house, which is, like, right. Spewing smoke from six smoke machines.
Right. And that's the other thing. Like, if you, again, to cover the basis of let's not have the neighbors call 911. One wasn't good enough, so you went to six. That seems a bit too much.
I know.
But couldn't you actually just have it be one where it's like, oh, there's smoke coming from somewhere in the house. We don't know where. Let's all just get out the house to be safe and all kind of call 911. And none of the neighbors have any clue what's going on, so they don't call 911. Like, it actually seems better to have less smoke than more smoke because more smoke could easily just get out of hand.
Oh, yeah. Also, smoke machines, like, make everything smell bad. So I feel like all their furniture would smell really bad.
Do
afterwards.
They really?
Yeah. They make, like the carpet and everything. Yeah. Not good. Would not suggest.
So this all worked out well, possibly despite what you might expect.
I mean, it did end well, so that's good. And then hopefully he immediately turned off the smoke machine.
Yes.
So we're going to take another break, and then we will come back and finish up with our weird news stories.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Weird News. We are continuing talking about some strange and weird news stories. We are going to one that is weird, also very funny. At least I chuckled when I read it. And this story takes place in Paris. It is specifically about Paris's first nude restaurant, which is unfortunately closing for lack of business. I'm so sorry. Also, right. Like, I feel like Paris, I feel like that might actually do well there, you know?
See, and I think that's the idea and why it got open in the first place. It's like, oh, it's Paris, the French, nude beaches, so nude restaurant, of course.
Yeah, although I'm not surprised, though, the idea of eating in the nude with a lot of other people probably did not sound very appetizing.
See, when this first came out, I thought it was like the waiters were nude when I first started. And I was like, okay, I can see why someone would throw that. But no, wait, the people eating are, why?
As long as the chefs aren't nude, I don't know.
Yes, definitely. Definitely not. The people
definitely
cooking.
Health code violation.
Right.
So, the first nude restaurant has closed just a year after opening. It is called Au Naturel.
Of course it is.
Of course. It was opened in December of 2017. And, again, it sounds like an easy sell. Instead of dressing up, diners would dress down to their birthday suits, different kind of suits than normal for restaurants. And once naked, the customers could enjoy a 3-course dinner with foie gras, lobster, snails, lamb, or scallops, and it's for $58. So
not bad.
Not bad, you know. Especially not bad because you don't have any pockets. You can't carry in your wallet, you know.
Okay.
It's really against the idea of no shirt, no shoes, no service.
Right.
Also, all of the restaurant personnel were clothed, which is better. I feel like that would... I don't know. I feel like I would be almost worse to go to one where all the servers were naked, maybe.
Well, again, so long as the chefs are clothed.
True.
I feel like either way is equal after yeah. that. But the people cooking need to be clothed.
Yeah. And as long as they wipe down the seats really well after everyone comes in, uh-huh. it'd be fine. Also, I'm assuming people would go to the restaurant and then undress. They wouldn't just show up nude because you'd have to be like a really committed nudist.
See, I'm now just picturing a bunch of people being like those streakers in the Burberry coats. Just oh, yeah. walking down the street.
Just like into a pilgrimage of
just
nudists.
A group of people in Burberry coats and come in and take off your coat and that's all you've got.
Yep. Take off your shoes.
Yep.
I would assume they'd also take off. I don't know if you have to be considered. I don't have to take off your shoes to be
I don't think you
nude.
Would because it would have to be a certain type of restaurant where like, you know, you sit almost cross-legged where so then you expect people to take off their shoes like in certain Asian restaurants. But if you're walking into like a regular restaurant where you sit at like a seated upright table, yeah. I think that might also be a health code violation to then be barefooted. So,
oh, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, it's France. I don't know how those laws work.
True.
Despite getting a lot of attention, apparently worldwide, the restaurant is going bust. And the owners, Mike and Stephanie Sada, posted a statement on its website announcing that the bistro would close for good on February 16th. And this is a quote from them. It said, "Thank you for having participated in this adventure by coming to dine at Au Naturel. We will only remember the good times, meeting beautiful people and customers who were delighted to share exceptional moments." That's sweet.
See, Au Naturel feels almost like it should be like a beach bar at a nudist beach. Like that feels, and I'm assuming that some nudist beach somewhere must have some sort of like just either bar or stand or something on the beach. Mm-hmm. So those people are used to, you know, serving people who are naked. But a nice fancy sit down restaurant in the middle of not a nudist beach seems a little odd.
Yeah, I could see like there being a nudist beach bar. That's probably a good idea. Yeah, someone will probably capitalize off of that.
The owner should. They'd just be like, okay, so we don't do it in the city. We just do it in the beach.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I'm sorry, Au Naturel. I wish the owners the best. Our next story, this is a end of Christmas tale. It's sort of like the after Christmas gift that you never wanted, and it's not just like the extra weight. It's just worse. This is about over 100 praying mantises that took over a woman's home after she bought a bug-infested Christmas tree.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare.
See, and I had this happen, though thankfully they didn't take over the home, but we discovered after, like, the day after Christmas that our Christmas tree had a bunch of spiders in it.
Oh, God.
And it was a hassle just getting it out the house because none of us wanted to touch it.
Oh, that's horrifying.
And we were living in apartments at the time, so we had to drag it down a bit towards the dumpster, and we're just like, we don't want to touch it. So we, like, crazy sprayed it with bug spray and put on, like, gardening gloves and dragged it out the house.
And then you have to, like, think about the fact that you carried it in there.
Well, and it was there for several weeks. Like, where did these spiders, how long have the spiders been there?
Oh.
Were you all just, like, not hatched yet? Please not have been hatched yet. Like, yeah. Yeah.
That sounds awful. This happened to a woman in Springfield, Molly Cruz, and she experienced more than 100 praying mantises. They infested her home after hatching from an egg case hidden in her Christmas tree. That's horrible. It is now possible that the mantises are moving from not just her living room or wherever it is to her bedroom, and it's a scenario that she never wanted to consider.
Well, and it's so interesting because she's a veterinarian.
Yep.
And she's handling this much better than me, which would be the okay fumigate right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. She's quoted saying, "I don't want to think about that. It's possible. I don't want to know," as she considers them moving into her place of sleeping. And she said, well, okay, so apparently she is, as you said, Stacey, much kinder than I would be because she is not just vacuuming up the bugs. She's trying to avoid that by scooping them with an envelope and storing them in a shoebox, which is, like, still in her house.
This is, like, 200% nicer than me, because it would take me, like, a major amount of, okay, I really care for all living things ever, even just to get to the scooping them up with an envelope. Mm-hmm. But then that would immediately be dump it outside.
Oh, yeah. I would have to be, like, a Buddhist to do this. There's no other way.
Like, why are you putting them in a shoebox?
Yeah.
Take it outside. Well, even if it's 20 trips, take it outside.
Right. Well, so she's keeping them because she's feeding... This is all so crazy. She's feeding them. She's feeding them fruit flies because she's trying to find them new homes.
I don't... Wow. Yeah.
She said, I discovered that people really like praying mantises, and they are useful. They eat other bugs, and they are used for organic gardening to eat other pests, which is true.
Yes, but no.
Yep, nope. I would not do that.
I don't have the niceness or patience or the, oh my gosh, it's a bug. Like, my brain immediately goes to squash it, and mm-hmm. I still haven't yet managed to get to the, well, don't squash it, take it outside part. And she's like, not only, oh, don't squash it, don't take it outside, keep it and feed it while waiting to find it another house, never mind the fact that it's been nesting in my house for who knows how long.
That's how kind she is. She's rehoming the praying mantises who, you know, came unwelcome in holiday guests.
Uninvited, yes.
Very uninvited. She had to carry that tree up there. That's terrible.
Wow.
Also, she said that the infestation has inspired her to get an artificial tree for next Christmas.
Yes, definitely that too.
And bug spray the tree.
Well, and I'm pretty sure that most Christmas trees do actually get sprayed.
Usually, I
well, like feel the commercial like. Ones, maybe not like, you know, if your tree is organic or whatever.
Or if she like cut it down herself.
Right. Yeah. But like if you go to just a commercial Christmas tree lot that's there every year and doesn't pride themselves or advertise themselves on being, you know, organic or whatever, I'm pretty sure they spray those trees and yet still somehow enter egg nest of bug here.
Oh, God.
That was part of why we got a, because I didn't want an artificial tree and then mm-hmm. the spider thing happened and I was like, yeah, no, that's good. Let's go look.
Yeah. Yep. So, just, you know, check before you buy.
Or if you are a interbug egg nest here, hope that you get on a tree that goes to someone as kind as this lady, because you would not have made it through the holiday season at my house, just saying.
Nope. So that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you can tune in to the next Weird News episode.